This is the eHealth Radio Network, your source for health advice on demand. And now your host, Eric Michaels.
This is Eric Michaels, and once again, you have tuned into the eHealth Radio Network and the Dental Care and Health News channels. Don't forget, we are streaming on demand 24/7 on TuneIn Radio and the TuneIn Radio app for your listening convenience. Today, we are speaking with Dr. Ryan M. Clampsey, DMD, MAGD, the owner of Cosmetic and Aesthetic Dentistry in Medford, Massachusetts. He provides a wide range of dental services to patients in the Boston area, such as general dentistry, cosmetic dentistry, and neuromuscular dentistry solutions. Dr. Clampsey is here today to debunk all or a lot of dental myths. Dr. Clancy, a pleasure to have you with us here today on eHealth Radio.
Thank you very much, Eric. It's a pleasure to be on the radio with you today and your listeners, and I really appreciate the opportunity to help debunk some common myths in the world of dentistry.
Yeah, looking forward to hearing you do that right here on this show, and thanks for your time as well. So, you know, obviously today we mentioned what we're going to be doing, and it will be a little different than the norm, but we're going to stake the myth and allow you to respond accordingly to debunk each and every myth, the common myth that we bring up here today. So number one, myth number one, my dentist doesn't need to know that I snore.
That's a great question, Eric, and a great myth. You know, I'm very passionate about sleep apnea and a lot of the literature in both medicine and dentistry. Everyone collectively is finding that dentists, you know, are really often the first professional to become aware of a potential problem with a patient because they generally will have more contact with their patients, often multiple times a year, and often more frequently than physicians will have with their patients. So I do disagree with that myth, but I understand that it may seem like an uncommon question. We screen our patients for snoring. There's a strong correlation between temporomandibular disorder and obstructive sleep apnea. And we try to educate patients about obstructive sleep apnea and then steer them in the right direction. For many patients, it's going to be some diet and lifestyle changes. For others, they're going to need to see their primary care physician or ENT or a pulmonologist and have some testing, oftentimes sleeping over, hooked up to quite a bit of equipment, just to make sure that they're healthy. Sleep apnea, with or without snoring, can be life-threatening. And so, I'm passionate about dentistry and dentistry, but I do understand that if a patient does have sleep apnea, that's going to trump everything else, and it's really in everyone's best interest to know about it, to find out if it's of concern, and to do something about it. And I believe dentists can be, you know, the front line for screening in this deadly disease.
Myth number two, all dentures are the same. What is your take on that?
I think that that is certainly another common myth where, many patients or friends or family that I talk to will say, I'm going to have dentures like my daddy and granddaddy and great granddaddy. And there certainly are, genetic or biological traits that we carry from our ancestors. But an analogy that I like to use, because I disagree, all dentures are not the same, is I'll often tell someone, whether it be a friend, family, or patient, that, 50 years ago, if you went in with a bad hip, you'd be given a cane and told to, take some Tylenol or Advil, and that was as good as it got for you. And nowadays, you go in for a bad hip, and gosh, I have many people who they're walking that day. They get a total hip replacement, and they're often telling themselves, the only thing I regret is, not doing this 10 or 15 years earlier. We have the same effect with dentures. A lot of patients who come to us either fully edentulous, meaning they have no teeth remaining, or on the way to fully edentulous, the options are endless. We can restore someone to health, to function, to cosmetics, to, as far as chewing corn on the cob, uncooked carrots, just the whole litany of foods that were probably something that someone had to go away from for a couple of decades. And our ability to use implants to retain dentures has been really a wonderful thing to offer to patients each and every day.
Good stuff. Now, myth number three, my TMD is not curable.
Yeah, that's another great one, Eric. TMD, which is the acronym for temporomandibular disorder, a lot of people, a lot of providers use it interchangeable with TMJ, so you could call it either. That's not the case anymore. You know, it often was the case that if you had TMD or TMJ, you pretty much couldn't chew gum anymore or chew fingernails or chew pencils, and you were left with the options of, you know, palliative care, just taking over-the-counter medications, maybe a night guard, or sometimes offered a surgical resolution, which could, you know, lead to all sorts of things, jaw, surgical correction of your jaw, you know, sometimes wiring your jaw shut, you know, and just a lot of things that patients were not really excited about going through. Luckily, with technology and with what we have available today, we can really find harmony for the system of the TMJ, which is that joint. If you open and close and you put your finger right in front of your ear, or even in your ear, you can kind of feel that pop or that joint there. We have the ability to marry that joint in a good, healthy, comfortable position with the teeth, and utilizing the teeth and sometimes appliance therapy to make sure we have a real harmonious relationship between that joint, your teeth, and the muscles of mastication or chewing, so that we can really restore patients that suffer and have suffered for a long time, and get them happy and healthy again. So I don't agree with that myth. I'm happy to say that many, if not most, if not all, cases of TMD are in fact curable these days, which is a wonderful thing.
Today we are speaking with Dr. Ryan M. Clampsey, DMD, MAGD, the owner of Cosmetic and Aesthetic Dentistry in Medford, Massachusetts, here on eHealth Radio's Dental Care and Health News channels, a part of the eHealth Radio Network. Dr. Clancy, myth number four, I don't have teeth, so I don't need a dental exam. And that is an interesting myth.
Yeah, that is an interesting myth, Eric. I agree with you there. You know, a lot of friends and family of those that are listening probably do not enjoy going to the dentist. Maybe they've had a bad experience. Maybe they're afraid, and sometimes for valid reasons. You know, they might have been mistreated either as a child or an adult, and that can be traumatizing. What I would like to tell your listeners is, even if you don't enjoy going to the dentist, you know, go for the oral cancer screening alone. If you never fix another tooth, or any of your cosmetics or function, if you just go and have a licensed professional have the opportunity to give you a really thorough head and neck exam, you'll do a lot for yourself, for your family. Unfortunately, oral cancer is one of the cancers that has not had an improvement in its mortality rate as other cancers have, and one of the big problems is the screening. Dentist has to do that screening, and if patients aren't going to the dentist, or because they don't have teeth, they don't think they need to go to the dentist, that screening doesn't happen. So the 5-year survival rate in oral cancer, you know, has not improved in many decades, and that's unfortunate. So the ability to go to a dentist, or the desire to go to a dentist, in my opinion, should be 100% for the oral cancer screening, because unfortunately, to give you a little data, just in 2016 alone, there's going to be almost 50,000 people in the United States with newly diagnosed oral cancer. That's a huge number of people. And unfortunately, a lot of those will be of the late stage variety because early detection was not accomplished. So this is another topic I'm highly passionate about. We do a very thorough head and neck exam. We take photos, we educate patients, we go through their history, and we really want to make sure there's nothing missed, because with most, if not all, cancers, if you can get to things early, you can have a really nice resolution. When you get to something, you know, late stage or end stage, then there's a lot of regret for both the patient and the provider. So hopefully, if some of your listeners are motivated to maybe go to the dentist, they haven't been in a couple of years, just go for the screening, and I don't think they'll be making a mistake. Not at all.
Myth number five, all dentists are the same.
I wish that was true, because there's a lot of patients in this country and many other countries, and there certainly, you know, are not enough dentists or not enough qualified dentists. That being said, you know, if I'm a patient and how I advise my friends and family, you know, around the country is I always tell them the same thing. Find a dentist who is committed to lifelong learning. Many dentists, including myself, you get out of school and, boy, you think you know everything. And it takes some life experience to realize that degree was, in fact, just a certificate to allow you to learn more, because there's so much to know. Dentistry has really evolved to a part of medicine, and so many things are interrelated that you really have to be on top of the literature and on top of oral medicine. And so one of the ways for a patient to find out if their dentist has stayed up with their education or if they're looking for a new one is an organization that I belong to, the Academy of General Dentistry. They have a more stringent recertification process than my state of Massachusetts. They have educational tracks where I've been able to achieve fellowship and then mastership. It really holds dentists to a very high level, making sure that they're not only up on all the topics, but continue to be up on the topics and are in fact tested on that. And many dentists so go even further and will advance their education in one of the many advanced education schools. And so I would encourage patients and your listeners to do their homework on their dentist, do their homework on their doctor, find out, you know, where they went to school, what are their specialties, what do they enjoy doing, have they stayed up with things. And, you know, if you're in an office and you get the feeling that, you know, you've gone back in time 20 or 30 years, you know, I would be concerned, you know, because there's so many things that have changed in this field for the better. I would want patients to have the best opportunity and the best possible treatment at their disposal.
Certainly informative, and I really appreciate your feedback on all these myths, certainly debunking each and every one. In conclusion, any closing thoughts, takeaways, or one last final tip for the listeners today?
I have one myth that I often get would be, you know, dental insurance is a big player in the United States, and most patients and providers have found that what is covered has dwindled drastically over the last few decades. And so, you know, oftentimes, unfortunately, a patient will desire a procedure and will be told it's not covered by their particular insurance. And that's a difficult conversation because, you know, the contract, you know, is generally written from human resources at a job per se and with a dental insurance company. And you know, those making the decisions are not often those with the education or those who are there on the front line looking at the situation. And so oftentimes, for budgetary reasons, things are denied. And so that puts the patient-doctor relationship in a really tough position. And so my solution to that is just to educate the patients. I've had them, you know, call their own companies and complain, or call their own human resources and complain, because I don't agree that if your dental insurance doesn't cover a procedure or it's a non-covered type procedure, the decision should not have that. That's the patient decision. And, you know, I wish dental care, you know, was more of a patient-doctor relationship and decision, and that there were less strings attached. Because unfortunately, some patients have some coverage or help from insurance, and there's so many strings attached that they really never get to enjoy those benefits. So that's unfortunate. But I have had a few patients that have, in fact, wanted to do work, you know, had denials, then that work turned into more work, and then both the patient and the dental insurance ended up having to pay for more procedures than was originally thought. And that's a lose-lose for everybody around. So I would just encourage your listeners to be their own advocate, be it in dentistry or in medicine, and fight for yourself and fight for your own benefits and stick up for yourself. I think that's some good advice there.
And I certainly would agree with that, and thanks so much. Where can listeners get more information online about cosmetic anesthetic dentistry in Medford, Massachusetts?
Well, they could either find me in person in the greater Boston area. I'm just about 10 miles north of Boston, or online at www.cosmeticsmileteam.com, where they could reach us at area code 781-350-4385.
Well, Dr. Clancy, we certainly have appreciated your joining us today. Again, very informative and valuable information shared here, and thanks for your time today on the show.
My pleasure, Eric. Thank you very much.
And you're more than welcome. We have been speaking with Dr. Ryan M. Clancy, DMD, MAGD, the owner of Cosmetic Anesthetic Dentistry in Medford, Massachusetts, that provides a wide range of dental services to patients in the Boston area, such as general dentistry, cosmetic dentistry, and neuromuscular dentistry solutions. And for more information, you can visit their location online at cosmeticsmileteam.com. And this has been Eric Michaels, and you've been listening to eHealth Radio and the Dental Care and Health News Channels, a part of the eHealth Radio Network. And we do thank you for listening. And until next time, enjoy.
Thanks for tuning in to the eHealth Radio Network. For more information or to subscribe to this podcast, visit eHealthRadioNetwork.com.